everybody to the greatest music NFT podcast show. I am your host, Beaks Vibe, and this is your number one source for all things Web3 and music NFTs. And it feels good to be back. We have another crazy week in crypto with lots of headlines, lots of news, lots of updates. So we're going to get right into it. You know, this episode, we are going to cover friend.tech, the all new socialized tokenized network of your friends that we will get into that has launched on Base, the network we've been talking about over the last couple previous episodes, which of course is Coinbase's new layer 2 blockchain, which is highly more scalable, built on Ethereum, of course. So we will get into that. But before we get into friend.tech, we have to start with an honorable mention at the very top of the program this week, which is back to our beloved OpenSea, which I don't really think beloved's actually the word anymore, because really, I think OpenSea has dug their own grave with what we are about to talk on next, which is, you know, this topic is really near and dear to my heart because we've harped on it on some of our earliest episodes on this podcast, which pertains to creator royalties. And I won't go into it, but I kind of just to contextualize what has happened, will summarize very quickly in short, which is creator royalties have become optional because of the war of trading platforms for NFTs. And they have all totally lost sight of the original intent of what this is all about, which is creating new mediums and new means of value for artists and creators alike. And to take out creator royalties, which is essentially to say to take out royalties of intellectual property of all artists in the Web3 or the crypto space or the NFT space or whatever you want to call it that makes you feel happy. It's just absolutely asinine to think that to pander to collectors and traders that think that that's going to be the juice worth the squeeze as a trading platform, you've all totally lost sight. Now, what OpenSea has tried to come out and say is that they were trying to enforce creator royalties, but because enforcement is not at the contract layer, but at the trading platform layer, which is a whole nother issue that we've already gone into in the past, and go check those episodes if you want to hear those rants. They tried to, you know, it was just crazy ways. They had to blacklist the NFT to be, you know, sellable in terms of secondary sales on other trading platforms. And there was no kind of unilateral, ubiquitous, industry-wide way where it was going to work. And so OpenSea has come out essentially saying, well, since no one else was willing to, you know, enforce it the way we were trying to enforce it, we are no longer going to enforce creator royalties. And, you know, from here on out, you know, moving into the future, all creator royalties will essentially be optional, which essentially means that there will no longer be any enforcement on trying to protect the artists and creators of these NFT projects from actually making the money, which is just so crazy. I mean, it's hard to even hear anybody that's like trying to argue that this is a good idea. You know, it's just really sad. And honestly, I think all NFTs are going to go to zero and are on their way to zero, including these platforms who have totally lost sight of the overall bigger picture here, until royalties are enforceable at the contract layer. Because this kind of shenanigans between trading platforms, I mean, who gives a shit about Blur or OpenSea or any of these lame trading platforms? It's not about them. It's not about the traders. And I mean, it's really about the artists and the creators and their relationship and the way they want to treat their relationship with their collectors. You know, it's hard to even say it's about the collectors as a uniform thing because it's really all about the personalized collector relationship with artists. And all artists are different and all artists have different ideas and in different ways in which they want to value royalties, or are they just one of ones, or do maybe they don't even want secondary sales and that's the end of the story with royalties altogether. My point being is that it should be up to the artist, and for it to be up to the artist, it has to be enforceable within a trustless way, which means it has to be enforceable at the contract layer of these NFTs. And until that's the case, all these NFTs, all these platforms, who gives a shit whether they're enforceable or not, they're all going to zero. And that's the hot take for the week. All right, so now that we've gotten the honorable mention of OpenSea out of the way, we have to talk about what's really been getting people's attention and buzzing like crazy this past week, which is friend.tech. So we've talked about this topic broadly in the past before, but the idea of financializing everything around us, whether it's our social network, whether it's our friends, our relationships, the information that we have, the content that we're releasing. And this has been a really interesting topic just overall in Web3, because I think what attracts a lot of people, especially on the creator side of, you know, crypto and Web3 and NFTs, is the idea to find, you know, additional and new ways of finding value within content, within, you know, and as we kind of see, you know, with TikTok and social media and just kind of the onslaught of everything media, everything content, everything is a brand, everyone is a brand, right? Whether, you know, Balaji has this great philosophy that everyone really has these three different faces of personalities depending on kind of what you're doing. You have your kind of in real life personality, you have your kind of online personality, and you have like your friend and social personality of, you know, how your coworkers see you, how your, you know, schoolmates might see you, how your friends might see you, and then how like you're this internet persona, and then this like very like real in, you know, you persona. And there are all these brands of like who you are. And so, not to get too into the meta philosophy of who we are for this episode, but friend.tech is a new swing at trying to kind of tokenize and financialize the valuation of your network. Now, friend.tech is built on Coinbase's layer 2 base network, which we have just covered. So that works out for those that listen to the podcast. We already are familiar with Base the Network. And, you know, because Base just launched, this is an exciting new project that is being built on Base. And so it's still in a private beta release. Now, I have it on good authority that I have some inside connections to some people already on friend.tech. So I'm actually hoping that in the next week, maybe, you know, two, I could actually get into the friend.tech ecosystem and see what it's all about. Now, you know, it's really become a hot topic this week because it, you know, people get really existential very quickly, as I think should be when we talk about financializing everything around us or putting, you know, valuations on who we are or the merits of our relationship. But I heard a take that I think is really appropriate for kind of where this is all going. And for some reason, I don't have this sinister, cynical take on it this go around, as sometimes, you know, usually I'm a pretty cautious when it comes to this type of stuff. But, you know, when you think about it, just in Web2 and social media, just in general, we've already been conditioned so aggressively to understand what's high value and what's low value. And even if you just think about like follower counts or verified accounts, and, you know, is something have a check mark, and like all this conditioning to, oh, this is like high value account, this is something trustworthy, right? And so it's been really interesting to see why when Elon Musk took, you know, over Twitter, now, you know, known as X, of course, which we still have to call it Twitter so everyone knows what the hell we're talking about. But when they turned it to you could buy a check mark, when people used to go out of the way and spend $10,000 because that was the value of having the perceived verification of account, you looked legitimate, you looked above, you know, the common person, right? Like it gave you a status, it was a status symbol. And, you know, we think of celebrities, and it's like if someone's walking down the street and no one's paying attention to them, well, you know, we're not going to pay attention to them. If someone's walking down the street and someone's taking pictures of somebody, you instantly just go, human nature is like, I'm curious of who that person is. That there must be something, you know, suddenly the, you know, the appraisal of someone's value suddenly, instantly, you know, kind of skyrockets up, and it's like, oh, like, what's going on, right? So there's a lot of this kind of, you know, negative sentiment around valuing somebody, but I think this is really just the next iteration of where we're going, because we already, I think, subconsciously do this. And this is what I mean. It's like we already like subconsciously value people's kind of merit or credit worthiness just based on, you know, oh, they don't have over 1,000 followers. Like, they're probably not worth, you know, my time or worth my attention. Oh, they have over 5,000 followers. Maybe they're worth my time. Maybe I should read, you know, what they're talking about, right? So we are conditioned to think that with more follower counts, that they're more important. And I'm not trying to say that's right. I don't that's not my point. My point is that we're already doing this, and this system is already very integrated within our world and within our society, especially in this digital world. So to see this kind of next iteration of being able to tokenize it and to being able to really actually put the actual dollar sign value on it, like, what is 6,000 followers worth on Twitter? Like, maybe we can actually find out now, right? And maybe 6,000 followers on Twitter might actually be worth more than the person with 60,000 followers on Twitter. And when we, and how would we find that out? But actually seeing the merit of the information that can now really be valued with like real appraised, you know, currency or cryptocurrency. So my point is that I think this is almost a natural progression. And the exciting part of this is for us Web3 creators, we've had to try to strike this incredible fine balance with appeasing the Web2 audience that we've had and been building upon, you know, for however long someone's been a creator, but also trying to, you know, work this Web3 crowd and this Web3 audience that's very savvy and that's very kind of, you know, they're all aligned within kind of a cultural value, and they all speak like a very specific language, which is why we've harped on so, you know, why terminology and wording and language is so important within this particular ecosystem, because it's very kind of sensitive in terms of how you phrase some of this stuff. And I think one of the interesting opportunities of an ecosystem and a platform like friend.tech is, you know, when it's being kind of gatekept or paywalled or, you know, restricted behind an entire Web3 infrastructure, it's like when you know you're in, you already know who you're talking to. You no longer have to guess the way when you're on X or when you're on Twitter and you're like, well, there's people that are in my Web2 audience and my Web3 audience that are both going to be receiving this message. So maybe I have to either, you know, word this message so both parties understand it, or I have to kind of shoot out two different messages because I know I'm working two different types of audiences. And if you are able to kind of jump into an ecosystem where it's strictly or purely Web3, you have a much cleaner and clearer path to message whatever that content is. And I think for something like this podcast, which is why I'm most interested about friend.tech, is like, this podcast is really on platforms of Web2, but it's really talking about very specific Web3 content, right? And so I would love to be able to position this podcast in a way where it's only directly talking and explicitly being exposed to a Web3 audience. That's part of why I've tried to, you know, court some of my content strategy to just going onto Twitter and being on X. But even with that, right, it's like it's still very Web2 and very Web3. And so, you know, potentially if there is a way where I can exclusively release content in an ecosystem that is, you know, quote unquote, gatekept with, you know, crypto, which, you know, obviously would then implicate that it is a Web3 audience, right? Because they already, you know, own some type of cryptocurrency. Then, you know, maybe this message, you know, of this podcast could fall upon very much more relevant ears. So that's why I'm interested in trying something like that. Because, you know, it's fascinating. I'm not necessarily fascinated by trying to see what I'm worth, which I'm sure is not much, but I'm trying to see, you know, does the value of this message become more clear if I can find an audience that's already kind of in that space? So I think it's really interesting. Like I said, it's still in private beta, so I think friend.tech has basically been cherry-picking and trying to give some white-glove treatment to some NFT influencers, some crypto celebrities, or whatever you want to call them. But hopefully, my inside source will come through, and we'll see what happens. And maybe, just maybe, Beaks Vibe can get the greatest music NFT podcast show within the Web3 walls of friend.tech on the Base Layer 2 network. So I think that's all I got for you all this week. I will wrap it up with that. If you are not already, make sure you are following the podcast at TGMNFTPod. Of course, you know that is short for the Greatest Music NFT Podcast Show. You can follow me and make sure you check out the avatar video versions of this podcast at Beaks Vibe. And we're still putting out these full episodes on YouTube. You can also follow us on TikTok, Twitter, /X, and anywhere you can listen and stream podcasts for free. So make sure you check us out, and I will probably follow up with some more content and let you know if we do get ourselves within the friend.tech ecosystem. But yeah, check it out. More smart contract layer apps to come. So that's it. I'll see you same time, same place next week. Peace.